HTP podcast, where we go beyond just strokes and strategy. And our mission here is to change the culture of tennis, having one conversation at a time through a more positive and holistic approach. And today I have Katja Katarina. I call you Katja. I don't know if any of your players do. I know you go by all the names, but just because that's how I know you as, I'm going to call you Katja. Initially met Katja playing at University of South Carolina. You were the assistant coach at that time, and you were with my whole 4 years. I know you were there longer than that, but the full 4 years that I played, you were there, you recruited me. Yeah, and now you're at FIU. So you're originally from Serbia, right? And I would really love to hear how your story with tennis started in Serbia.
It's a long story, G. Sorry, I'm going to call you G because you're my G.
Yeah, no worries.
As a G, you're my G. And yeah. to tell everyone that you're my first, I would say, a recruit when I became a coach in South, assistant coach in South Carolina. So thanks to you, the whole success came afterwards because you were one of the kind, and you're one of my still best players in more than 20 years right now.
Oh, well, thank you. I didn't know I was your first recruit as a college coach. Wow, how cool.
So I can write a book about everything, but it's going to take a long time. A lot of people tell me that I should write a book about my tennis career. And it's very interested in a way that I came from a very poor family. I was not allowed to be on a tennis court until age of 7. Basically, my dad saw the reason why I started to play tennis, and the reason why I still have one-handed backhand is because at that time, I was born 1978, so I started to play tennis in 81. Tennis was not that popular in Europe. And at that time, there was no tennis on TV except maybe Wimbledon and Roland Garros. And my dad saw, I'm the only child, I'm a daughter, how tennis players wear like a nice outfit, the dresses. And that's the reason why I got to play tennis. And also that's the reason why I have one-handed backhand, because at the time we didn't know that a two-handed backhand existed. So... So from age 3 and a half, my dad bought like a wooden racket, which we had cut it like in, I don't know what he used. And I played against the wall pretty much until I was 6 and a half.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And I wasn't, you know, in Serbia, tennis is a noble sport. Now it's, I would say golf is becoming like that. Only doctors, lawyers, and wealthy people play. And I was not allowed on court. And one afternoon, but I was never bored to go and play against the wall. And you know, my dad never pushed me. So I really, really love tennis. I still love it. Tennis is my passion. One of the doctors, his sparring partner, didn't show up. So there are 4 courts in my hometown of 120,000 people. There's still like now there's probably like 8 or 9, but it's not that big.
Yeah.
He didn't have his partner. Another lawyer didn't show up. And when he saw me hitting the ball, he asked my dad, can she hit with me? And that was the first time I hit on actual clay court.
Wow.
Net. So and everybody's like, wow, well, look at this kid, she's amazing. So that's how I got into the tennis.
No way, I knew that about you. That's so interesting. I had no idea. From there, I know you had like the same coach that Natasha, one of my teammates from South Carolina, had. Can you speak a little bit on that?
Of course, I started to compete in the age of 7. I was already playing at that time. That was Yugoslavia. There was no Serbia. I was playing Yugoslavian tournaments with Iva Majoli. She was a Roland Garros champion. Monica Seles used to be, and Steffi Graf, I would say, our idol. Even though I play more like a Martina Navratilova, Monica was from Serbia at that time, from Novi Sad. I won a big tournament at age of 13, and it was like kind of like European championship on a clay court under 14.
Okay.
Bulgaria, and I ended up being a poor kid with this talent and woodwork ethic, offered a scholarship, full scholarship in Belgium.
Okay.
So I moved to Belgium, even though I was the only child, age of 14. I lived there. I was training really hard. I had a really good team. My coach at that time was Michael Vanbrugh and Carlos Rodriguez. Carlos Rodriguez was a coach of Justine Henin and Grand Slam champions.
Yeah.
Carlos, traveling coach, and all this one-handed did Beckens Perfections came from Carlos. So
Okay.
I had a really good luck, I would say, to be around the very, very good coaches. I learned a lot. They really improved my game. But at age of 15, 16, Anna, at that point, Natasha, coach, she was our national coach, Biljana
Okay.
Veselinovic, and she's currently coaching in British Federation. She's a coach of Katie Butler, the one
Okay. Yeah.
50K, but she was like top 25 last year in WTA. So I'm in touch with Biljana almost every week. We see each other at the airports usually when we travel. Miami Open and US Open. I was a member of a Fed Cup team at the time. And then I decided, thanks to Biljana, long story short, she told me, you're going to South Carolina. No question. When I told her that education, I was ranked top 400 WTA. And she said, you have no choice. You have to go to South Carolina because that's where I went. My coach is there. It was your coach and my coach, Coach Harlow. So left me no choice. She said, you're going to love it and you'll never regret it. She was completely right because thanks to Harlow and thanks to Biljana, I'm here today. Tennis is my passion. I would say, sometimes when you're a player, you lose desire, you lose passion for coaching. But to me, my girls know that I love tennis. So I'm here for tennis. So.
I've always loved that about you. I didn't realize you lived in Belgium. So how, like, the language barriers going from Serbia to Belgium to US, how was that? That's not an easy thing to do.
Well, I guess my dad was looking at a big picture, I would say. When 5 or 6 years old, he signed me up for English classes, English lessons. It was easy, in Belgium, everybody speaks English. So I lived in Belgium from 93 to 96. Then I lived in Paris, 96 through 98, 98 through 99 before college. I lived in Germany. So pretty much I was outside Serbia from 93. And as you can, probably whoever follows tennis, they know that Djokovic, everybody had to leave a country in a certain age to be successful in the world scene. So that was my path. I still played for the national team, but I really wanted to get education. A lot of people were against me coming to college. Oh, you have to be pro. Well, I really wanted to get education. And this is the something that I tell my players even today. I have this sentence, and I'm sure I told you, but you probably forgot because it was ages. Get a paper. For me, that's important to get a diploma. You graduate because we are women, and then the world is open. You can do whatever you want.
I love that. And I think there was a huge stigma, when you grew up, when I grew up too, it was like you had to go play professional. Going to college was, it was like you were weak or you're not good enough, or it's just like it wasn't a thing. I remember growing up, I think I only had maybe two coaches for sure. You should go to college first, and then if you want to play pro after that, go pro. But I had so many other, coaches just like, focusing on going pro, focusing on going pro. So I'm so glad that stigma has really shifted and there's so many more people going to college first. Ben Shelton is a great example who's on the tour now.
Talking about Beth Shelton, I have to tell you a story. Last year, we were playing ITA kickoff at University of Florida, and we drive from Miami, we come in the afternoon, and of course, my girls see everything. I don't see any, we were trying to practice the day before man. And they said, Ben Shelton is there. I said, what do you mean, Ben Shelton? I was like, I didn't see anybody. So of course, you know how I am, G, I'm curious. I go to indoor facility. There is on the third court, there's a young gentleman serving me like 500 balls. It was a Ben Shelton right after Australian Open. So yeah, so I called him. I was like, can I please have your my team really? I thought a couple of girls, instead of focusing on practice, they don't pay attention, but I think they saw you. Can you please come and take a photo with my team? So all my girls were like beyond excited.
That's awesome.
Ben's father, he's an awesome college coach. Was a great tennis player. He was a pro. So no doubts he'll be amazing. And I'm so happy because he's representing what we coaches talk about it on daily basis. When you and I came to college, the NCAA was very strict. Like if you go pro, we're gonna try to catch you. But now accepting the prize money in order to compete, you're allowed to compete, you're allowed to play. Because I encourage all the girls in my team to go out and play. So you can play in the same time like you're in college. Of course, you cannot miss class. There's better opportunity now to play than I played. So NCAA got a little bit softer on that part. So
Oh, that's great. That's such a good thing. I wish they had that one I played, gosh, played every summer. I'm glad to see that that has changed. So going from South Carolina, and remind me, how many years did you coach at South Carolina? And then now you're currently at FIU.
I was coaching in South Carolina from 2004 to 2012.
Okay.
And I'm at FIU actually from 2012 September still.
Okay. And you guys have won four conference championships.
Yes, we won three in a row right now. And I
Okay.
think third th team in the history of our conference to be able to do that in all sports. So
Wow. That's
now we are looking
amazing.
for four-peat, so.
That's amazing, Katja. You've really taken tennis at FIU to another level. What do you think were some of like the key elements that help you to get to that point?
I would say that my reputation around, and probably you remember me as a coach, is that I'm a tough Serbian coach. I go by saying, you give me 100% off and on the court, off the court, to be a great student, to be good in academics. That's all I'm going to ask you. But I'm very positive with today's generation due to the social media, due to the old changes, which I believe it started in 2017. Everything is different. Everything, even my coaching method is a little bit different than when I was coaching you. I was able to, I would say, tell you truth in your face. Now I have to find a way how to tell you truth different ways, because you think, oh, I'm criticizing you, but it's not true. I just want best for your tennis and best for you. If you are not a player who is athletic, I would say you have to have a juice on your ball. Or if you're an athletic player, that means you have to talk to conditioning coach and, you have to get more, I would say, air in the lungs, get a better physique on the court so you can last longer. But the reason why we are winning, in my belief, is that everything is great at FIU, that support is great. We have a great, great conditioning coach. So I would say that we are the fittest team in the conference. So.
Okay. Yeah. And with, so it sounds like from what you're saying, you have a lot of support. I know for people who don't know what it's like to be a college coach, and I remember, at different times you and Arlo saying, with the advisors and whatnot, oh, we can do this, we can't do that. And not everyone knows that. Can you kind of like, generally talk about that? And it sounds like at FIU, you have that support, and how important that is to really be able to facilitate a better team.
Of course, it's, I would say, a good group of people, which is academic advisor, nutritionist, sports psychologist, conditioning coach, the trainers. We have amazing trainers. I'll give you a little secret right now. One of our trainers that is responsible for tennis, he's also personal trainer of Amanda Nisimova, which is number one in the world right now. She lives in Miami. So this is a little bit of a better resource that I would say. The doctor at FIU, the doctors that I see, my athletes, they're amazing. They see the pro teams, the Miami Heat players, Dolphins. It's a very good support. And I would say everything, little pieces have to get together to get us championship team. So, and it takes effort, and to say my team had the highest GPA in last 3 years, I would say two out of 3 years. And it's like 3.8 or something like this. So
That's
and
great.
then all international girls, which is very tough to tell them, hey, it's they don't speak English that well in the beginning, but they're great students.
With you saying that them being all international, I know sometimes for Americans that's like a sore spot, but I don't think all Americans always understand that at the end of the day, you're trying to recruit, not just a great player, but great character. Tennis in the US has drastically changed. Can you just share a little bit of that recruiting processes compared to, recruiting Americans compared to sometimes, international players? Because I mean, I just know for me, I'm not as involved in competitive juniors anymore. When I was, it was like the depth of playing was just not the same. It was like if you went to national clay courts, if you went to national hard courts, every single person in that draw, that 128 draw, was good, like very, very good. And you could just kind of see when I was coaching more competitive juniors, that had gone down. It wasn't the same anymore. If you could kind of talk about that a little bit.
Of course, and I'm the main recruiter. All these years, I was a main recruiter in South Carolina. I always start trying to recruit local girls. The first phone calls that I would do is to the local girls, state of Florida girls, American girls, and then if I have no luck, I would have to go international. Most of the people in this country think, oh, those coaches, they really want only international players. That's not true. I finally have another American girl, but she she has an Argentina background this year in the team, but she's from Parkland, Florida.
Yeah.
It's a trend, I would say, in the last 15 years that the best American girls, which there are not many, I would say the level, I'm looking at UTR, they are going to top 25 universities, and it's much easier for them to recruit. I think coaches just have to select who they want. For me, it's a different story. I have to recruit the whole world. Sometimes I have to wake up at 4 a.m. to call Kazakhstan or Uzbekistan or China. Do I know the prospect speaks English? Stuff like this. It's a little bit different story. But in
Yeah.
the end, I always tell the student athletes, the prospective student athletes, it's your choice. I'm never gonna get upset if you don't choose me. It's your choice. But that's the best decision that you're gonna make, is that you try to take a college path. But you are completely right. The level changed the year of 2012. If you see the main draw even of Orange Bowl, how many American players were in juniors, and it completely changed. But I'm
Yeah.
happy now. I'm happy that a Serbian descent, I would say, Iva Jovic, is doing some damage. American kid doing some damage on the tour. I believe she's top 75. And somebody sent me to see her play a few years ago in Orange Bowl when they're 16. And I said, this kid is going to be good. I saw something in her eyes. So,
Yeah.
like I saw it in your eyes. I don't know. I
Yeah.
fell in love with you. I'll never forget my first tournament ever as a coach. It was in Lexington, South Carolina, when you were serving and volleying. I was like, oh my God, I really want this girl in my team. So I really, really work hard, because to me, I'm an aggressive player. I love aggressive tennis. And again, to be professional playing college, you have to have a juice on your ball, and you have to know how to be able to play at the net. So it's very rare. I'll tell you this right now, I'm honest. It's really rare to see a player who is able to really be comfortable to go to the net. That's my job, to do this in college.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
able to convince a player to be able to be more aggressive, take the ball early on the rise, swinging volleys. That's the goal, to play pro tennis later on.
Yeah. Well, Katja, that is amazing. Thank you so much for coming on today. I definitely learned a lot more about you that I had no idea about. It sounded like just the tidbit that you shared about your dad, like he was a visionary, really being able to like look ahead and see the path for you, even with, very little resources, he was still able to find the way. And I know you're a hard worker. I mean,
What if I tell you I slept in the car to play 25Ks, the pro
yeah.
event, and he would drive and I would sleep in the car to make it to like top 500? So these were the days that this generation might never, or have one pair of shoes, and I have to wash them for jogging, for tennis, for everything, for school. So these were the days that, they teach you value.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. Absolutely. Thank you, Katja, for being on today. And for all of you, if you like these tennis tales, please like, share, and subscribe.